Okay. So, yesterday we left off discussing the chilek in the Minchas Chinuch between person who's eating outside the sukkah versus a person who's in the sukkah but he's not getting the mitzvah. So, how does that come up? We'll learn Misach HaShavuos. So the real answer is a good question. But the simple way we got there was we had three answers in Tosfos, two answers that we're dealing with right now, in terms of why was it a good idea for Rav Nachman to pull this whole shtick with the Bar Avza? Why did it make sense for him to have this whole trickery of how he's going to stand up for Debisa de Rav Huna? And the first answer of Tosfos was, before we even get to the question of Tosfos was, don't we need what? Kima Sheyesh Bahidr. This is not a Kima Sheyesh Bahidr. This is some ruckus that's going on in the middle of the courtroom. And it doesn't seem to help. So Tosfos gives answer number one, Enachinami, you're right. This is not respectful. But what is it also not? It's not disrespectful. It's not disrespectful, right? It's not e-kavod, right? It's not a lack of kavod. There's no iser involved, right? That's the lashon they have over there. Kamakom ein iser. There's no iser sharei omed hay. He was standing. There's no iser. So therefore, he's avoiding the avera of not standing. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Answer number two, guys?
She understood.
She understood. So we started off trying to figure out maybe it's the general chakira that we have. Is it a kavod of the isha versus kavod of the chaver? Okay, I wanted to suggest that maybe that's not the pshat over here because it doesn't help so much within trying to understand the second answer. So I tried to clarify that yesterday. So rather, just simple explanation was that the first day in Tosfos holds, there is such an Isser. The second day in Tosfos holds, there is no such Isser. Meaning, when you have a mitzvah saseh, is there also an Isser to not do the mitzvah saseh? Or no, that's what a mitzvah saseh is. Mitzvah saseh is a mitzvah where you do the mitzvah, and if you don't do it, you didn't also violate an Isser of not doing it, you just didn't do it. So, that could be what the two deists and Tosfos are arguing. First day obviously holds there is an Isser involved. So in Mela, he was in a position where he couldn't accomplish the mitzvah saseh. Okay, but at least to avoid the avera of not doing the mitzvah saseh, that makes sense. Second answer, Tosfos says, what avera? There's no avera. This only makes sense to answer in a way where you can say that there is a mitzvah being fulfilled here. Otherwise, what are you even doing? Yeah.
Can you characterize
it as a mitzvah? So I don't want to go there offhand because, first of all, if there is such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis, it's not pashut. They want to give credit to different achronim for inventing a mitzvah kiyumis, right? So you say the Vilna Gaon invented it, or Rav Moshe Feinstein invented it for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or the Netziv invented it. Whether or not there exists such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis, let's assume there is, but most mitzvos are mitzvos chiyuvios. They're not mitzvos kiyumios. You're not going to say that most mitzvos, if you do them, great. If not, no big deal. Right? So we try to avoid it if possible. You know? So how would you say sukkah would be a mitzvah kiyumis? So you could argue that sukkah after the first night legabi the achila is a mitzvah kiyumis, but it's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah of sukkah is not going to be a mitzvah kiyumis. That's the balamor at the end of Pesachim. Balamor has that comment that the Gemara in the Darm says you can't go more than 3 days without sleeping. So Amela, if you say I'm going to not sleep for 3 days, you should just violate the neder right away because you're going to fall asleep within 3 days. So therefore, he says that's why Chazal instituted making a bracha on Yeshiva B'sukkah Kol Shiva, but they didn't institute making a bracha on eating matzah Kol Shiva. Right? That's the difference between he's saying Gufa, if you like you know, if you like that gra, he's saying gufa, the gra's sheet is correct, that achilas matzah kol shiva is a mitzvah kiyumis, and shiva sukkah kol shiva is not a mitzvah kiyumis, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, because merely you have to, you're going to end up doing it. I mean, the eating part could be a mitzvah kiyumis, but there's more to it. So therefore, you can't say a dafka about the mitzvah sukkah. But I try to stay away from the mitzvah kiyumis, unless like that's one of the ones that's officially on the books, because you know already, you know, ein bo ela chidusha. You don't want to take the chiddusha and run with it even more so. So that was, I think, a good way to explain it, and that was reminiscent of this comment of the Minchas Chinuch, that the Minchas Chinuch wants to say by sukkah. So you have we just to review very quickly. You have the question of, does the sukkah have to belong to you? So the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Tes says, "Chagas sukkah tasa kol shivas yamim," right? Lema'ute gzula. It's coming to exclude a stolen sukkah. Ask Tosfos, what are you talking about? I don't need Xeris Akasif to exclude a sukkah, stolen sukkah. I already have the famous concept of mitzvah haba'a b'avera. So if you steal something and then you want to use it, it's a mitzvah haba'a b'avera. So why do I need a pasuk to say you can't use a stolen sukkah? Tosfos answers, mitzvah haba'a b'avera is only a din midrabanan. And therefore, the pasuk is coming to tell you you're not even yotzei min haTorah. But you're not even yotzei sukkah min haTorah if you stay in a stolen sukkah. But if you would just be a mitzvah haba'a b'avera, you would still be yotzei on a deraisa level, you just wouldn't be yotzei on a derabanan. Good. Comes Minchas Chinuch, and also many other Rishonim don't learn this way. They don't like to say mitzvah baba avir is only din derabanan. They'd rather say that it's a din d'oraisa. So comes Minchas Chinuch and says, going with all the other Rishonim who say that mitzvah baba avir is really d'oraisa, I'll make a different chalak for you. I'll answer the question much better. If you sit in a stolen sukkah, and it's a mitzvah baba avira, so mela, you're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah, but you're not violating the mitzvah b'yadayim. You're not actively doing something wrong. You're simply not doing something right. That's like you're not wearing a begedal kanfo, so mainly you're not being yotzi the mitzvah of tzitzis. Are you violating the mitzvah saseh of not wearing tzitzis? I think. I haven't seen the Minchas Chinuch in a while, but I think he contrasts tzitzis versus tefillin. Right? He says, by tefillin, if you don't put on the tefillin every day, so you're actively violating the mitzvah of hanachas tefillin. But tzitzis, if you don't put on a talis katan, a talis gadol, you don't have a four-cornered garment. So you're not violating anything, you're just not getting the mitzvah. So you're not doing an achila chutz l'sukkah, you're doing achila in a sukkah, but it's not the type of achila in a sukkah that's going to give you a mitzvah. Mashen kein, if you hold, like the Xeris HaKosuv, that it's a psul d'oraisa in the sukkah itself, then you are ki'ilu violating the asei d'oraisa of sukkah b'yadayim. It's ki'ilu you're eating outside the sukkah. Right? That is the chilek of the Minchas Chinuch. You find this alluded to in the Pnei Yoshua, in sukkah also. Pnei Yoshua, what the other chevers are learning. If you look in the, I think it's on the Mishnah Chafei, he asks the question about why do we say osik b'mitzvah, potem b'mitzvah, when it comes to the mitzvah sukkah dafka. Why does it come up in Masechta Sukkah? It should come up in all kinds of other Masechtas. So I think the Teretz of Pnei Yeshua is that you might have thought that when it comes to the sukkah, so it's not just a regular mitzvah saseh that if you don't eat in the sukkah, you don't quote-unquote get a mitzvah, but it's even a shtickle isser. When you eat outside the sukkah, it's like you're violating a vera. So therefore, you would say, oh, osik mitzvah, patam mitzvah doesn't apply in this case. We know osik mitzvah doesn't apply in low saseis. Let's say some guy is running, he's on his way, doing hatzolah call. So he's in the ambulance, and he's driving the ambulance, and with one hand he's driving the ambulance, the other hand he's eating a McDonald's Big Mac. Right? So he's like, why? He says, what do you mean? Osik mitzvah, patam mitzvah. I'm doing a tremendous mitzvah, pikuach nefesh. So I'm allowed to eat a Big Mac now. No, osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah doesn't apply to lo saseis. Right? It doesn't apply to just violating averos. So you might think you're not going to say osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah when it comes to violating lo saseh. Kamash balan. Right? So by sukkah, it's not, it's not a problem. You're even going to say Ozi Mitzvah by the Isser to eat outside the sukkah. Okay, so that's it's along the lines of Minchas Chinuch that we view eating outside the sukkah differently than we view not eating in the sukkah or not being not being yotzei the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. There's a difference. So that's this idea of the Minchas Chinuch. Okay, comes Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he is very opposed to this biur in the Minchas Chinuch. You get a chance to see the tshuva? It's a beautiful tshuva. Okay, it's a beautiful tshuva. I'm going to read certain highlights. Right, so obviously he quotes. He starts off because he's talking about the special kavanah he's supposed to have in the sukkah. Right? This is based on the shita of the Bach. What does the Bach say? Right? Well, does the Bach say it's ma'akiv? I don't remember. I thought the Bach just says there are three mitzvahs you need special kavanah. Bach says 3 minutes. It could be that he does say it's ma'akev. I haven't seen the Bach in some time, but he definitely says that there are three mitzvahs you need special kavanah for because of the lashonus of the Torah. So what are the three mitzvahs, guys? We mentioned it yesterday. Tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah. Right. Everyone knows about the sukkah one. Not everybody. Some people know about the sukkah one. Fewer people know about the tzitzis and the tefillin ones. But they're all equally important. And one is obviously two are more common than one. So it's very important, I think, right? I told you the Minchas Asher, he basically answers the first Shaila in I think it's Chelek Beis, the Tshuvas Minchas Asher. By the way, I get the emails from the Minchas Asher people. So Chelek Gimel of Shals and Tshuvas is officially out. So if anybody's already bored of first two Chalakim of Shals and Tshuvas Minchas Asher, good news, right? Chelek Gimel is out. I think the first tshuva in Chelek Beis is how could it be that in the whole Hashem Yichud for the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, it doesn't mention once Laman Tia Torah Shem Beficha, the actual kavana that the post can say you have to have, so it's not mentioned. So I think the basic answer is Enochinami. Yeah? Okay, say you're right, but you still have to have the kavana, so you should still have it. So the Hashem Yichud was a fancier kavana. That's already that's the big machlokes, the Nodav Yehuda versus, someone says it's a Divrei Chaim, but I never found that Divrei Chaim. I heard a real Talmud Chacham once told me that he thinks the Divrei Chaim has a good response to the Nodav Yehuda's tshuva, but I've never found it. The Munkacher definitely has. The Minchas Olazer definitely has a response, where the Munkacher says, right, you guys know what I'm talking about, the Nodav Yehuda on L'Shem Yichud? What? Yeah, the Nodav Yehuda on L'Shem Yichud, he's very upset about it. So he doesn't like it, L'Shem Yichud. And then the Munkacher wrote a simple response. He said, what are you talking about? You never heard of Mitzvah Strichas Kavana? It's Mitzvah Strichas Kavana. So when you say L'Shem Yichud, that's the Kavana you're supposed to have when you do the Mitzvah. So, okay, so that's a different, obviously, the Nodav Yehuda is a fan of Mitzvah Strichas Kavana. Also, just the question of what types of Kavanas do you have to have? You have to have kavana, parshat pshat. Rashi says, "Shehei kavana l'shem mitzvah." You should have kavana. This is a mitzvah, and that's why I'm doing it. Right? That's what you say. Generally, so mitzvah tzrichas kavana means, and anything above and beyond that, that's already in the realm of lifnim yishur sedin when it comes to mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Except for obviously mitzvos that inherently are kavana based, right? So we always say, "Oh, mitzvah tzrichas kavana just means general kavana," except for three mitzvos, right? Tefillin, sukkah, and tzitzis. But it's not really true. Obviously, which other mitzvos absolutely require kavana? Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. If you don't have Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, what are you even doing? Right? Similarly, Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim at the end, and Tefillah, and mitzvos which kavana is inherent to the mitzvah. Obviously, those are not, those are not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about mitzvos where you wouldn't have known going in that Kavana is inherently important to the Kiyama Mitzvah. That's where the Bach is coming to be Mechadish. You don't need the Bach to be Mechadish, that you're supposed to have Kavana when you daven. That's what davening is. Right? Reb Chaim points it out. Mishnah Berurah also has basically the same shtickle as Reb Chaim in the Bir Halacha. But Reb Chaim points it out, but it's something which we understand on our own. He's Mechalik between the Kavana of Mitzvah Srichas Kavana versus the Kavana of what it means to be called a Tefillah. Right? So, okay. So, So that's all fine and good when it comes to the sheet of the Bach. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman is trying to figure out how seriously do we take this idea of the Bach. He brings in that a person who doesn't have kavana l'shem anani hakavod, so maybe he is not yotzei the mitzvah. That's already a machlokes between the later achronim, that the Prima Gadim, I think, says it's not ma'akev, and Mishnah Berurah quotes that, but the Bikur Yaakov was the first sefer written by Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger is the Aruch Laner, the Binyan Tzion, a lot of excellent svarim. And so the Bikur Yaakov, if you buy a copy of the Aruch Laner on Sukkah in the back, there you have the Bikur Yaakov. It's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Hilchus Sukkah, Hilchus Dalaminim, etc. So that's it's a very in that area, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it at least once on every page of Mishnah Berurah in these areas. It's very important sefer in Hilchus, in these halachos. So the Bikur Yaakov holds its ma'akev even b'di'evit. So it's, I think I recall Rav Shlomo Zalman is concerned for this Bikur Yaakov, and he says maybe you're really not yotzi the mitzvah unless you actually have this special kavanah. Then he goes on and he says he doesn't like the Minchas Chinuch's chiluk, right? Where does he have it in here? Gam ikar dvar v'enam nirim. I don't like what the Minchas Chinuch says. Shariat Torah lo asra klal lilvosh beged below tzitzis. Rag chiyavto lahato bo tzitzis. The Torah never said there's an iser doraisa to not, to wear begedal kanfos with no tzitzis. They said, wear tzitzis when there is a begedal kanfos. V'chein gam b'chilas chutz l'sukkah, leka klal shum iser. Elisha ha-Torah amra, teshu kein taduru. Kol shu ba lechol achilas keva, she'ein regilim lechol b'shuk, el b'bayis, chalala, mitzvah sukkah. There's a mitzvah of sukkah, that's it. There's no in-between. There's no, well, you get the mitzvah you eat in the sukkah, and then you get the avera because you ate outside the sukkah, and then there's an in-between where it's neither a mitzvah nor an avera. No such thing. You're either in or you're out, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. There's no middle ground over here. Right? He says that, Leika shum iser, elisha Torah amrak teshu kein tadur, like we said. And then, V'i amrina de lo asa mitzvah, if you say you're not mekayim, you didn't do the mitzvah, hare memela ikanami avera shel bitul asay. That's what the bitul asay is. V'chein mavor asham b'shari yosher. Right, he quotes from the Shari Yosher. Kevan shekein, af im benidon didan, kevan shel neskavein, v'lo asa shum mitzvah, chash v'nami, kim v'alta mitzvah say, v'dinu ka'ocha chutzasuka, olo v'esh beged shel da'al kanfos b'lo tzitzis. If you're going to hold like the Bikur Yaakov, that you're not yotzei, if you don't have the special kavana, so that's it. It's ke'ilu you ate outside the sukkah. Meaning most people will say, oh, when do you have to have special kavana? That's for the kezayis rishon on the first night. Because special mitzvah to eat in the sukkah on the first night, right? I assume that the other chevra is going to get to that at some point in the summer. What is the nature of the mitzvah of achila b'sukkah on the first night? So, if you say that there's a special chiyuv, so then if you don't have that special kavana on the first night, that's really bad, because now you got to go eat another kezayis in the sukkah. Right? Okay, that's the big nafkamina. But you don't have to klap al chet, says the Minchas Chinuch, if you didn't have the special kavana. But, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, absolutely not. It's not just a nafkamina whether or not you have to eat another kezayis. It's a nafkamina every time. It's ke'ilu you ate outside the sukkah. Therefore, it's not just a hidur l'chadchila in that way, and worst case scenario, you didn't get the mitzvah. No, you really are in active violation of the mitzvah. You're in a sukkah, but because of your lack of kavana, you're ke'ilu outside the sukkah. And it's like you're quote-unquote doing the avera, even though obviously it's not an avera, it's a bit to say, but nevertheless, there's only two sides to the coin. There aren't three sides to the coin. There's no middle ground, right? You flip a coin, it's going to come up heads or tails. It's not going to stand on edge, right? Minchas Chinuch says no, heads, tails are on edge. Shlomo Zalman says no, heads or tails, zehu. You don't get a choice in the matter. Then he gets a little scary, right? Then he quotes this Bir Halacha. You get a chance to see this Bir Halacha? It's very important to look it up, if only just to scare yourself straight a little bit. I worked on me. But it worked on me for like 20 minutes, like everything else does. Right? So what does he quote? The Bir Halacha, Simin Samach. That's the Simin in Hilchos Kriya Shema Bar Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavanah. And then he says, and there's a quote, Im Karu L'Torah V'lo Keach Taliso O Talis HaKohol La'alos L'Bima She'oz Zmano Bohu U'mistama Eino Machavin Oz B'lvishaso L'kayim Mitzvah Saseh Shel Tzitzis. What's going on? Guy's running up for an aliyah, right? We know, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, maybe, or last week, that there's an inyan, a major inyan of Tircha de Tzibur when it comes to getting an aliyah. Got to run up there. Don't want to knock anybody over. But if you know you're getting an aliyah, should be 90% of the way up by the time they call your name, right? You have a lot of times, calling? Anybody calling? I say, here we don't have that problem. But sometimes, anybody calling? Nobody. Anybody calling? Nobody. Finally, one guy, all right. What, you just became a Kohen? You just converted to being a Kohen right now. So, no, just help us out here. We don't, listen, it's not the end of the world, but nobody wants to be standing around waiting for you to decide whether you're not a Kohen, whether or not you're a Kohen. You want to do Shlishi? Right? You want to do Revi? No, I don't know. Get up there. You run up there quickly. Right? That's a whole Shiloh. The Ramah says, Bein Gavra L'Gavra, don't cover the Torah. Don't put a covering on the Torah, being Avodah Zarah. It's big tircha. I'm saying that it's this. That's the tircha, right? So he says, by the Sfardim, the Mechaber says, you can put the cover on the Torah. Ramah says, don't put the cover on the Torah. Did I ever speak this out? I think that was one of the ones I never answered. Right? So the Sfardim, the Mechaber says, put the cover over the Torah. And the Ashkenazim, he says, no, it's tircha de tzibur. Don't cover the Torah. Just close it. Right? So, we're not talking major tircha here. He says, obviously, Mishabura points, obviously, you're going to make Mishabaruchs and stuff like that, then you cover the Torah in between because you're actually having a little bit of a break. But you should take a lesson that not to make too many Mishabaruchs because obviously it's the same tircha that we're trying to avoid by covering the Torah. But Lamaisa, I always thought that was I find it hard to believe this is really the Machlokas just because probably the Ramah knew what a Sephardi Torah looked like. Right, that it's just mitzias wise, you can't close the Sephardi Torah every time. That's a big tircha. To close those huge cases and to open them up every time is not so poshut. So that's why they dafka developed to put the mitpachas, to put the whatever you call this particular item, right? So to put it over, that's much easier than closing the Torah. So they dafka cover it over, and then when the guy gets up there, they flip it back up. By the Ashkenazim, the Torah is out and it's easy to roll and unroll. So they dafka roll it, and they don't have to put the cover on top. So it's a little more of a tircha to put the cover on top than it is to just roll it. So that's why the Pashas, that's why the Sfardim cover and the Ashkenazim roll. But that's not what it sounds like when you read the Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like this is their shita, But I'm not sure. Is it just a matter of convenience or that was their shita? I'm not sure. But bottom line. You're supposed to, you go up there, you're in a rush. So what do? You grab a talis. If you're not, if it's, let's say, Shabbos Mincha, so anybody, generally speaking, not wearing a talis, or if it's, or if it's Shacharis and you don't usually wear a talis. So you grab a talis, you put on the talis, says Bir Halacha. How many people have Kavana L'Shem the Mitzvah Tzitzis at that point? They have Kavana L'Shem the Mitzvah Tzitzis and they have Kavana that it's Zecher to the Tarek Mitzvos. I'd say nobody, right? You have Kavana, what? So you say your kavana if you're frum, your kavana is I want to wear an extra beged mishum kavanat tzibur, right? But to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, nobody thinks about that. But lemaisa says the Bir Halacha, that's a problem. It's not because you're mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis because you're getting an aliyah. It's just that it happens to be the type of beged that we have you put on is a beged of tzitzis. They could have, let's say, if you were in a kehillah where nobody wore suits, everybody wears just a shirt and pants. And then when you get up there to get an aliyah, you could put on a nice blazer, right? Okay, that would also work. But Lamaisa, we like to use a talis. So when you use a talis, you're going to put it on. You're not having it. Having your mind l'shem kavod hatzibur. Not having your mind l'shem tzitzis. So the Bir Halacha says you got a problem. You got a problem right there. Because once you don't have kavana for the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's ki'ilu. There's no tzitzis on those strings, on those corners. Once you're not being mekayim the mitzvah, That's not good. That's a bittul aseh. Minchas Chinuch would say, what, are you kidding? No. No, there's being mevatel the aseh actively and wrongly, and then there's just not getting the kiyum aseh. So if you don't have in mind, you go up to get an aliyah and you say, I'm doing this l'shem kavodat tzibur. So then, you don't get the kiyum aseh. But you don't get the bittul aseh. You're not doing the wrong thing. And Mishnah Berurah says, no, you're doing the wrong thing. You're not doing what we call a classic Avera, but there's an Isser to be Mevatel and Aseh. You're not allowed to be Mevatel and Aseh. So you are in violation of a Bittul Mitzvahs Aseh. And says the Mishnah Berurah, just in case you thought you were the worst person, V'ha'olam ein nisharin bazeh. Nobody's careful about this. Right? Nobody's careful about this. So just as a practical piece of advice, it's never good to look too weird. You want to blend in. In general, it's good in life to blend in. Right? It's a show of humility, it's a show of normalcy. These are two important characteristics. You want to blend in. But if you can get away with it, it's very worthwhile. If you're going to get an aliyah for mincha, when you're older, or if you wear a talis now, you're going to get an aliyah for anything, really. If you're going to get called up to the Torah during mincha, whatever, you're going to get called up to be the shlich tzibur, it's always better to put on your own talis. You're always better off putting on your own talis. Or dafka, somebody else's talis. Those are your two choices. Either put on your own talis or put on somebody else's talis. If you take the shul talis, so what, is there something wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. Just you're not making your life as easy as if you would have taken your own talis. You take your own talis, what are you going to do? You're going to make your own bracha. You know, you're going to have in mind, oh, it's a bracha of tzitzis. So now you're being yotzei the mitzvah of tzitzis. And you didn't have a suffix whether or not to make the bracha, and you didn't have a problem of not having kavana for the mitzvah. Right? You take the tzibur's talis, so you're not sure, should I make a bracha, should I not make a bracha? Yeah. And then mela, however you're gonna say, alright, suffix bracha is lahakil. Right? So you're gonna have a kula, don't make the bracha. Right? So you think you're cheshbening, like guys are cheshbening. Did I pay my membership? Did I not pay my membership? I'm not sure. Like, is this really my talis? Is it somebody else's talis? They can't figure it out. And then they say, okay, forget it. I'm not going to make the bracha. In Eretz Yisrael, I think everybody makes a bracha. I think when I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I think everybody got up to daven for the Amid, made a bracha on the talis. So it's less to worry about. But in America, I think nobody does. Right? You don't see it very often at all. So if you're not going to make a bracha on the talis, you say, oh, savik brachos lahakil. Maybe it's considered a borrowed talis. You're not chayiv in the mitzvah. Yeah, but you're being makel on the bracha. You're being machmir on the kavana. Because mela, you're not going to have the right kavana. And then you're going to end up being mevatel mitzvah saseh. Again, according to this chumrah, it's not necessarily the ikar adin, but bir halacha is still the bir halacha. We don't disregard what the Mishnah Berurah says. So ein achinami, there is definitely room to be makel. There's room to be makel, like the Minchas Chinuch, and there's room to be mekel, even if, not like the Minchas Chinuch, that maybe the Kavona is not ma'akev in that classic sense. But okay, Sacha Kol, it's definitely worthwhile to avoid the problem. Avoiding the problem is you put your own talis on, because nobody doesn't make a bruch on their own talis. Right? So then you're usually good to go. So that applies. You should think about it from time to time. You get an aliyah during mincha, if you're in the type of a shul where they wear talis during mincha. If you ask the daven mincha for the amud, sometimes you daven Friday night, early Shabbos. So also it's another time you put on your own talis. You know, it's always better to put on your own talis, and that way you avoid some of these problems. Okay, but that is the shita of this is the shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and I found the other day that it's not just the shita of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Kvar Kodmo Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim Brisker had the same thing. If you look in the Rishimos, so here he has it in a footnote. Here Reb Soloveitchik put it in a footnote, B'shem Reb Chaim, that he didn't like this pshat in the Minchas Chinuch, and he thought that it's all one thing. It's all one thing. You get a choice. You're in or you're out. Right? You're either Mekayim the Mitzvah or you're Mevatel the Mitzvah. Exactly like Reb Shlomo Zalman wanted to say. Right, but if you look in the Rishim Shurim in Sukkah, so he's mevirid a little bit more, and he says that maybe you can be mechalik also between bittul mitzvah saseh, that's a maisa, meaning when you eat outside the sukkah, not only are you not eating in the sukkah, but you're doing something wrong. You understand? You're doing something actively outside the sukkah. And I think that was pretty much the Pnei Yoshua's chilek also. What he wanted to consider it more of an avera. He was saying that it's because you're actively being mevatel the mitzvah by doing the mice in a way that they'll fulfill the mitzvah. Mashenkin, if you don't put on tefillin, you just didn't put on tefillin. So if you don't put on tefillin, that's a problem. Because you're mevatel mitzvah by not doing something, b'shev al tasa. But here you're being mevatel mitzvah b'kum va'aseh. I think that's the that's an important chilek as well. But lemaisa, so the question of whether or not we accept this minchas chinuch, is there an idea of an iser that goes together with the mitzvah, or is it one thing? So. Again, I'm not going to suggest that the machlokas between the minchas chinuch on one hand and Reb Chaim and Reb Shlomo Zalman on the other hand is gufa, the machlokas between these two deists and Tosfos, but it's, again, it's an excellent mushel for this these two deists and Tosfos. And not only that, but Rav Soloveitchik wanted to point out that the reason why they're not really comparable, I mean, the reason why Tosfos is willing to say this by us, and he's not willing to say it. He's not willing to say it. And he would not necessarily say that by the mitzvah of sukkah is by Kavod HaTorah. It's a specific mitzvah. There's a Kavod HaTorah. There's a specific positive idea of having Kavod HaTorah. And one second. No, I might be saying it over wrong. One second. Yeah, he says the opposite. He says, when you don't stand up for Talmud Chacham, you're being Mishev Al Tasa. You're not doing anything. You're not standing up and, making fun of him. You're not standing up and acting like a clown. You're not standing up. So that's much more similar to not putting on tefillin. But when it comes to eating outside the sukkah, there's more room to say it. That you're actively being mevatel the mitzvah. But if you say like that, that only really works within the second answer of Tosfos. It only works in the second answer of Tosfos, because Tosfos' first answer seems to say that there is a mitzvah to do it and there's an isser not to do it. And the second answer seems to imply there's no isser not to do it. And therefore, this chiluk of kum v'aseh versus shev al taseh is not such a great chiluk, because then you're pigeonholing yourself into only one answer in Tosfos. You'd rather not. Unless you say, that's the answer. That's the key answer of Tosfos. Is the second answer, not the first. The first answer was a throw, but we pointed out already, the Prima Gadim seems to agree to this yisod, that he writes that there is an isser of not honoring a Talmud Chacham. He writes that, again, we mentioned yesterday that the Prima Gadim, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says that if a Gabbai calls up an Amah Aretz when he should have called up the Talmud Chacham, he says, Lo Yafein Osin, but over my Isser. He's not doing the right thing, and he's violating an Isser. What Isser? It sounds like this Isser. Not being Mechabe the Talmud Chacham. So that is that's something to keep in mind. Rav Soloveitchik has another possibility in terms of mahalach over here. He says perhaps they do agree. Both answers agree. That there is an Isser, there is a mitzvah, there's two aspects of the mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah. Both answers agree. So what's the chilek? Answer number one says, he's not violating the Isser. Why? Because he was already standing. He was already standing. Meaning there is a situation where you can pater yourself from the mitzvah by not putting yourself in the situation to begin with. Let's say there's a Talmud Chacham about to walk in, so you don't know what to do with yourself. You're like, quickly, quickly, run, sit down! And you're like running for the chair as he's coming in the door, and you're running. What are you doing that for? You're standing already, so you're potter. So you stand in, Talmud Chacham walks in, you don't have to go kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. But you don't have to stand up more. So what are you choosing to stand up extra? So that's what Tosos means. Ein achinami. You're not going to get the mitzvah. What are you going to do about it? You can't live your life that way. Sometimes a person's standing. So you're putting yourself in a situation where you're pottering yourself from the mitzvah. But you're not doing anything wrong by being in a situation where you're potter from the mitzvah. You just potter. Second answer of Tosfos holds that when you stand up in advance, you're not potter from the mitzvah. You're just not doing the mitzvah. So therefore, Rav Nachman would never have gotten away with that had she not understood that he was standing up for her. And he says, that's the chab. The Gemara in Kiddushin has an idea. Gemara writes, Yochol, I might think is Yatzim Einov Kemishalo Ra'o. You can close your eyes and make pretend you didn't see the Talmud Chacham. Talmud Lomar V'yareisa Me'elokecha. You're supposed to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yareisa Me'elokecha. So part of the mitzvah of Bnei Seva Tokum is V'yareisa Me'elokecha. Which means you have to go out of your way to actually do the mitzvah. Not to avoid the mitzvah. Meaning if you close your eyes and you don't see the Talmud Chacham, are you chayef to stand? No. But who told you to close your eyes and not see him? You're doing the wrong thing. So by avoiding the mitzvah, you're doing the wrong thing. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. So comes along Rav Nachman, and he dafka stands up in order to avoid the whole mitzvah. So the first answer, Tosfos says, that's okay. That's not v'yareisa me'elokecha. That's being standing. The Gemara in Kiddushin is not saying if you were actually standing, you better sit down. It's just saying don't put yourself in a situation where you avoid it entirely. It's v'yareisa me'elokecha. Comes along. The second answer of Tosfos says, "What are you talking about? The way you learn v'yareisa me'elokecha means don't avoid the mitzvah. Look to fulfill it, and therefore you got to be seated when the person comes in, so that you can stand up on their behalf. And if you're standing up for something that seems like another reason, you better be sure that they know why you're standing." So that's the other explanation. Now, he actually quoted this Bir Halacha, a different Bir Halacha. This Bir Halacha is in Kuf Chav Ches, Siv Dalad, Yom Maskel Einam. This Bir Halacha is an interesting comment. He's talking about Birkas Kohanim. He mentioned that a Kohen who doesn't do Birkas Kohanim, let's say you're in the room, and they tell you, all right, time to go do Birkas Kohanim. And then the rule is, either someone in the tzibur tells you, all right, get up there, or if the chazan calls you, and he says Kohanim, and you don't get up there, you are in violation of a mitzvah saseh. You're mevatel an saseh, and then the Mishnah Berurah has a melitza, not even the Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch has a melitza, you're violation of three saseh, I think. Right? It's not good. You should do it. But if the guy walks out of shul before Ritzay or before anybody tells him to go up, so then he's not actively being mevatel on a say. But says the Bir Halacha, when did the Shulchan Aruch mean if you walk out of shul? That's if once in a blue moon you walk out of shul to avoid doing Birkas Kohanim for whatever reason, right? Or you already did it earlier today, you don't want to go back up there, so you walk out of shul. But to dafka avoid the mitzvah entirely, that's not acceptable. And that is a violation of v'yareisa me'elokecha. That's a violation of this isser of pottering yourself from mitzvos that you are technically chayev in. Is it a good p'tur? Sure, it's a good p'tur. But the Torah says v'yareisa me'elokecha. Don't close your eyes when the Talmud Chacham walks by so you're not chayev in the mitzvah. Be chayev in the mitzvah and do the mitzvah. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha says you're not allowed to walk out on a regular basis. Only once in a long while, you're allowed to walk out of the shul. Rav Soloveitchik didn't think that this quotation of the V'yareisa me'elokecha by the Bir Halacha was so compelling. He thought that this is a special mitzvah that by Kavodat Torah, where if you don't stand up for Kavodat Torah, it's a bizayon. Meaning, he didn't spell it out the way I'm saying it now, but I mean, it could be, this is Rav Reichman's rendition. So I don't know how it was actually said over, but Lamaisa, the way Rav Reichman writes it is that when it comes to Kavodat Torah, there's really only two issues. There's Kavod and there's Bizayon HaTorah. Meaning, remember, this is according to the second way of learning Tosfos, where both answers agree that there is a mitzvah to mechabe the Torah and an isser to not be mechabe the Torah because it's a Bizayon. So when you're not mechabe the Torah, it's a Bizayon. What's your problem? Don't do that. So Mela, we say, V'yareisim Elokecha. To not do any mitzvah in the Torah is automatically a violation of V'yareisim Elokecha? That's a stretch. You want to say that's too much of a stretch to say the Kohen is violating the Arisa Melkecha? It's a little hard to suggest. I think it's Mestama. If you read the Bir Halacha, you probably didn't mean it literally. It's an Isser of the Arisa Melkecha. However, I can tell you, and not really such a Chiddush, but that they wouldn't have agreed on this. But a few months ago, Rabbi Leibowitz raised the following interesting Shaila. It's a very interesting Shaila, that there was a Kohen who was, he was not from at all, and he was married to a non-Jewish woman for many years. They had a very nice secular family, and they were living nicely, you know, in a totally non-religious way, and he decides to become religious at some point, and he's really into it, and his kids are all non-Jews. But they also, like, I'm not sure, I don't remember all the details of, but things were going nicely. And the wife wants to convert. Says, why should I, I'm becoming frum, why should I be married to a non-Jewish woman anymore? And she's willing to convert, she's into it also, but the problem is a Kohen is not allowed to marry Gioris. Malacha, they're not married anyway, so they'd actually have to get married. So a Kohen is not allowed to marry Gioris. So the Eitzah that he had was, he wants to get a vasectomy. And therefore, he'd be considered a Ptzua Daka. And according to, I think that's the way we paskin, according to many of the Rishonim, a Ptzua Daka is allowed to marry Gioris. Ptzua Daka, definitely a Yisrael Ptzua Daka is allowed to marry Gioris. He's only allowed to marry a Mamzeres or a Gioris. And even a Kohen Ptzua Daka is allowed to marry a Gioris. So that's what he wanted to do. Problem is, by doing that to himself, he's passing himself from being a Kohen. So that's problem number one, right? There's an Isser to get a vasectomy, right? So then, all right, so the problem number one was, what are the issues of getting a vasectomy? Is it an Isser Daraisa, Isser Darabanan, whatever? Then, furthermore, do we tell a person who's a Kohen, basically to be mechalel yourself, to the extent that you don't have any more Isuri Kehuna, just so you can marry a Gioris? So, all right, this was a... Sorry, Leewitt said he presented this Shaila to... said Rav Shechter did not want to answer it. What? Rav Zilberstein? He asked three people in a fairly short tekufa, and he said that he... Oh, you heard this? Oh, so he said that he asked Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, he asked Rav Shechter, Shechter didn't want to know part of this question. He said, you need Ruach HaKodesh to answer a question like that. You can't, so Rav Zilberstein thought that either you don't need Ruach HaKodesh or you did have Ruach HaKodesh, and Rav Asher Weiss also answered it, the exact opposite of Rav Zilberstein. And so basically Rav Zilberstein, again, Rav Asher Weiss, Kedarko, you could have predicted how they were going to answer it, you know, in terms of what their normal Derech Musak is. But, you know, the basically the only two issues were, are you going to stay married to a Goy or are you going to be married to a Gioris? Like, those were the only two real variables. This guy's not divorcing his wife of X amount of years, whom he's had a loving family, etc., just because he's, like, kind of sort of becoming frum now. Like, that's not happening. The only question is he going to get the vasectomy and be married to a Jew, or is he not and be married to a Goy? Right, that was, I think, the major variable. Not so. Rav Asher Weiss basically said, as a matter of, he went in through the sugya of the vasectomy. Was it a full fledged isser? or maybe only a Siddur Rabbanan and whatever. So then he, I think he came out Lahakal that was in a Siddur Rabbanan, and then he said, as a matter of policy, we always want a Jew to be married to a Jew. Like, that's not, we will bend over backwards to allow a Jew to be married to another Jew. And Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein said, no, what are you talking about? You just look at every single Avera in the book. First of all, being married to a Goy is not really such a bad Avera. Whatever the Isser is, Machlokes Rishonim, what's the Isser being married to a Goy? But Lisa, it's an Isser Lav, it's not an Isser Kari, it's not an Isser, whatever. So we're going to allow Isurim, possibly Isurim Doraisa, so that a person can be Machal is Kedushas Kahuna. And he said, you're violating many Doraisas. And one of the Doraisas he listed off was, you're violating V'yareisim Elokecha. Violating V'yareisim Elokecha. How are you violating V'yareisim Elokecha? Because right now, every time this guy walks into a shul, he's chayiv in Birkas Kohanim. And if he does this, never going to be chayiv in Birkas Kohanim ever again. So that's worse than just going into the shul and just walking out once in a while. So I, at the time, when I heard this, Rabbi Lewis gave this shir in the shul, so I felt a tremendous chalisha sadas when I heard this, because I was learning Simon Kuf Chalches with the Dirshu at the time. And I didn't think of this at all. So I went back and I looked at the Bir Halach and I was like, you didn't mean it's a real Isser Daraisa. Like, I didn't feel so bad after I looked it up. I was like, it's a nice find, Rabbi Zilberstein, but like, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean your mom is violating Isser Daraisa if you walk out of shul. You know what he meant? Like, clearly, the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish here is that you should do the mitzvah, not avoid it. The classic Isser Doraisa. Isser Doraisa is when you take a kazayis of chazer and you eat it. It's not when you, I don't know. Whatever. Lamaisa. So I'd seen this like a few days ago. So I saw it the day that the Keli Chevra was here. So I mentioned it earlier. I just saw this in the Rishimos. You know, that I felt, because I remember telling Rabbi Lubitz at the time about that. I didn't think that was so mukhruch. He's like, yeah, that's Rabbi Zilberstein's style, isn't it? He does a lot of throw-ins, you know. So I told him at the time I didn't think it was so mukhruch. And so then I told him again, I just saw in the Rishimus about that whole thing with the Bir Yisrael Kecha, that he doesn't even like the Bir Halacha's application of the Bir Yisrael Kecha. Forget about then taking it and running with it. So Rabbi Lubitz said, like, probably wouldn't have liked most of the things that Zilberstein writes in his form. So, okay. So, it's not a chiddush. Two very, very different styles of learning. Both excellent, but two very, very different styles of arriving at conclusions. Okay. So that's in terms of analyzing the Tosfos. Let's just get a small start on the actual question of Eishes Chaver Kechaver. And we know that, we already spoke about this yesterday, the basic chakira behind Eishes Chaver Kechaver that you first got to start off with is kavod to the chaver via his wife, or kavod to the isha. She earned it. So, how do we come up with some easy nafkaminas for this? Simplest nafkamina. What? Let's say he dies. If it's kavod to the chaver. So yes, there is a concept of being mechabed the chaver la'achar misa, but not to the same extent that during his lifetime. So if the chaver dies, there's a big nafkamina. If it was kavod to the chaver, not to the isha, is there really an inyan to be mechabed the isha anymore? Another nafkamina. This is not as clear cut, but I think it's pretty clear cut that, yeah, right. If he's mochel, so I was thinking if she's mochel, right? If she's mochel, are you still mechuyev to give her kavod? Right. It could be, right. What? It's not her kavod to be mochel, and exactly that's what we said by the melech. Right, we said the kavod of a melech is not greater than the kavod of a talmid chacham. Answer number two in Tosfos, but happens to be just a technicality. A melech cannot be mochel on his kavod, and a talmid chacham can be mochel on his kavod because it's his Torah. It's not her Torah; it's his Torah. So she can't be mochel on his Torah. Can he be mochel on her kavod? Probably not. Where did I see this? I don't know. I just saw somebody said it. I must have written. What? Rabbi Yashiv, right. Rabbi Yashiv says that no, he can't be mochel on her kavod Because kvar zocha bekach, right? She was already zocha in that kavod. She was already zocha in, and he can't take it away from her after that. If you look in the Rishonim, so at least the Chachmei Svarad, you look in the Ramban and the Ritva and the Ran, they seem very clear that we are talking dafka about the kavod of the chaver. And let's take a look inside in the Ramban a little bit. So Ramban says, "V'hadam yinan gavu de bisu derav huna, v'ham arma avu b'shas gemar din divrei akol dayan b'yeshiva ba'adin ba'mida lava meimer de'ino rashi lo shiva lo shiva and shneim." Huh? That's a typo. It says lo shiva twice in the fancy Ramban. It says lava meimer de'ino rashi lo shiva and shneim. I think it's a typo. Yeah, this are really happens to be these Machoner of Hirschler Rambans. I'm a very big fan of. They have excellent footnotes, but you're not often going to find a typo in them. Could be I'm reading it wrong, but doesn't sound like it. Anyway, Shahari Ad Talmud Chacham Moshivin Osova Kolshkein Baldin Afilu B'Shaskemar Din. Right. So Rabbeinu Goris Osvinu Litlasayu Mashma Afilu B'Shaskemar Din. Av elish eishes chaver ain't a kechaver min haTorah v'leika asay dekvod haTorah. So the eishes chaver is not like a chaver min haTorah. Meaning, there's a din d'oraisa to be mechabed Talmud Chacham. There's no din min haTorah to be mechabed the eishes chaver. Right? He says, yeah, but t'miyali d'ahav afilu b'krovei shel chaver ika kvod haTorah. The meaning of k'suvis berga noseh. Right? We had that whole case in k'suvis, where they wanted mechabed him just because they thought he was related, right? So that was so he's saying that in context he has a different issue, but we're not going to get into the context. But clearly saying that Eishes Chaver is not kechaver min haTorah. Then he says, yeah, or you could learn like Rashi. What did Rashi say? We're talking about after Rav Huna died, right? Inam ilachar misahava kamosh pirish Rashi the ain kana say min haTorah. There's no to say the rise, meaning it sounds like Rashi would hold, perhaps, Eishes Chaver kechaver min haTorah. There's a chiyuv to give kavod to the Eishes Chaver. But after the Misas HaChaver, there's no chiyuv to give kavod at that point. V'chein mashma de b'chaver atzma lo mitzvah. All right, fine. It says, that's why is it mashma like Rashi, or like this pshat that it's only made the Rabbanon? Because with a real chaver, you couldn't have pulled this nonsense with the goose. So you have to really stand up. You can't mess around with the shtick. So with real chaver, you have to stand up. Only dafkan eishes chaver, which is only midrabanan, or even if you like Rashi, that once upon a time it was doraisa, but nowadays only midrabanan because after Rav Huna died. So therefore, you have to say that it's midrabanan now. It's interesting, by the way. If you say that it's a din derabanan, so. Is the same as it would have been if it was a din d'oraisa? Meaning we say by a din d'oraisa, eishes chaver kechaver, and then after the chaver dies, it's only midrabanan. Why? Because clearly it was the kavod of the chaver. Chaver died, and the rabbanan instituted it should continue. Why should it continue? Was there a need for this takanas chachamim? Was there a need for this? So you could say, yeah, there's a need for it. Why? Right? We have this concept of, for example, by Hilchos Tzedakah, we have a concept of Dei Machsoro. What's Dei Machsoro? Right, you give the guy, you have a guy, and you say, he used to be a billionaire, and now he's very poor. So you give him, you go to a wedding, and it was a cheap wedding. They only had... mini hot dogs and chicken you know, chicken pulkies. I don't know. That was what they served at the wedding. And you get the leftover mini hot dogs and the leftover chicken pulkies. So you bring it to this former billionaire and you say to him, here you go. Here's some food. I salvaged it from the chasana, Tom Cheshabbos, City Harvest, whatever you want to call it. You're bringing it over. So look at what a mitzvah I'm doing to the guy. He's like, I can't eat this. He's like, I would never have gone to a wedding and eaten mini hot dogs at a wedding to begin with. I eat chashuva foods. And now it's leftover mini hot dogs and leftover chicken. I can't eat this. So you say to the guy, buddy, those days are gone. You're poor now. Like, you eat what I give you. So that sounds rational. Torah says, not nice. Torah says, if he's used to eating good food, give him good food. You don't have to make him fall harder than he's already fallen. Says if he, and the Gemara says, I feel evid loritz lefanov. Right, which means you could even have to get him a fancy car if he needs a fancy car, right? So, you know, you could have you could have my, you know, the ultimate Rebbe mobile. You could have my 1986 Chevy Caprice Classic station wagon, 2-tone paneling. You know, I don't know if you guys even know what that is. That's what everybody drove back in the day. Before there were minivans, there were station wagons. So that's the Rebbe Mobile was the Caprice Classic station wagon. They had the third row of seats, but it faced backwards out the back. And so you say to the guy, listen, the guy says, look, you're Nebuch, you lost your job as CEO of the world, and I at least have my job as a Rebbe, so here, you can have my Caprice. He's like, I'm not driving that thing. Like, I'd rather walk than drive, you know. Not even the plaid paneling on the bottom's already fallen off, so it's now a different kind of two-tone. Now it's... You know, I'm not walking. I'm not driving that thing. It's not it. So you say, oh, what's your problem? You're doing the wrong. No, it's not wrong. He's not wrong. I mean, maybe he should. Maybe he should get it together and realize his new situation. But he's not mechuyev to. He's not mechuyev to do it. He's not mechuyev to drive the Caprice. You have to get him a better car. So you say. Also here, you have this woman, Ashes Ravuna. Ravuna, it's a big deal. Everywhere he goes, every room she's ever walked into, everybody stands up for her. They treat her with respect. So now all of a sudden her husband dies and she's a nobody. She's an amana a second time. Every time she walks into a room, she's not nachamu an amana. You know, like you're making her husband die again every time she walks into a room. You know, so it's not right. It's day machsara almost. Like you have, it's a shaila ready in Kavod HaBrios that certain people, if they're used to everybody treating them with respect, and then they start treating like a regular person, it's not Kavod HaBrios. It's not right. So the Chachamim instituted that even after the Misas Chachamim, you're still supposed to treat them with a certain amount of respect. It shouldn't be that they're already sad, that she's already sad that she's an almana, that she lost her husband. And now every time she walks into a room, everybody sort of announces to her, by the way, your husband's dead. So we don't care about you anymore. You know, that's not acceptable. Chacham didn't want that to happen, and they therefore instituted that there should be a din eishes chaver afilu achar misas chaver. Perhaps that's, if you say that it's a din derabanan, used to be a din deraisa, now it's a din derabanan. So that's what went into the motivation of the Chachamim instituting such a din derabanan. And Mashenkin according to the Ramban that it was always a din derabanan. So it's a din derabanan before the husband dies, a din derabanan after the husband dies. So that just because it didn't in the covet of the chaver, so we're not going to make it as extreme. Again, you don't have to buy the rich guy, give him a few weeks. You don't have to buy him a Rolls Royce and ad kedei kach that he's he feels like he's the wealthiest guy in the world. But you don't want him to fall so hard either. So also, we're not going to observe all of the halachos when it comes to kavod of an eishes chaver min haTorah. But we don't want there to be a noticeable difference ad kedei kach that we're going to mistreat her and not stand for her anymore. So and that goes back to what we're saying for Absalavichik, that not standing for a Talmud Chacham, especially if he's used to being stood for, that's already zilzul. It's not just not being mekayim the mitzvah. That's a zilzul in Kavod HaTorah, more so in terms of erasa melokecha than just not going up to the duchen, not going up to do birkas kohanim. So it's all right. So this is enough food for thought, I think, for now. Bezra Hashem, we'll continue this on Sunday with we'll try to analyze this a little bit more, and then. We'll move on to the sugya of Kavod HaBrios. Nice topic.